her pale face streaked with tears, her hand pressed to the glass. Zack put his arm around her.
It's okay, Lex. She'll be okay with this, I promise.
What if it isn't? Lexi whispered. What if she never forgives me? For the next several hours, Lexi sat in her lonely bedroom, staring at a future without Mia's friendship. Yeah, she loved Zack with all of her heart and soul, but she didn't love Mia any less. It was a different emotion, rounder and softer and more comfortable. Maybe it was more solid and reliable, too. All she knew was that she couldn't trade one for the other. That would be like having to choose between air to breathe and water to drink. She needed both to survive. She never should have kept this secret from her friend. She should have done the right thing from the beginning. If she had, none of this would be happening now. It was a truth she should have learned from her childhood. Always do the right thing from the start. Instead, she'd done the wrong thing and hurt her best friend's feelings. She knew what she had to do. She left her small, tidy bedroom and walked down the narrow hallway to the living room, where she found Eva sitting on the couch watching TV.
"Can I go to Mia's house?" Lexi said.
"At this hour? On a school night?"
"It's important," Lexi said. She didn't know what she'd do if her aunt said no. Eva looked at her.
"This about that boy of yours?"
Lexi nodded.
"You going to do the right thing?"
Lexi nodded again, realizing with a jolt of shame that Eva had known what was going on all along. "I have to tell Mia the truth."
"The truth is always a good thing."
Eva set down the remote and stood up. The pleats in her careworn face were emphasized by a smile.
"You're a good girl, Lexi."
Lexi hated how that made her feel. She hadn't been a good girl lately. She swallowed hard, smiled one time, briefly, almost desperately, and then she left the house. In almost no time, the county bus had dropped her off on Knight Road. She walked the last few hundred yards to the Faraday house, which was blazing with lights on this dark autumn night. She picked her way through the carefully landscaped front yard and went up to the front door. She didn't relish knocking on the door at 9 o'clock, but she had no choice. She rang the bell. Long minutes passed, and finally, Zack answered.
"Lex," he said, looking broken. "She won't talk to me."
"Are your parents here?" He shook his head.
"They're out with Molly and Tim."
That was good, at least. Lexi nodded and moved past him, going up the stairs. At Mia's room, she didn't even knock, just pushed the door open and went inside. Mia stood by the big oval mirror. Even in the shadowy light, Lexi could see how wounded Mia had been by them.
"Mia,"
Lexi said, moving forward. She felt Zack come up behind her.
"I trusted you,"
Mia said, her mouth trembling. Lexi would have preferred anger, screaming. Anything would have been better than Mia's quiet heartbreak.
"Mia, you're the best friend I've ever had. I love you like a sister, and I'm sorry if I hurt you."
"You did. You both did."
"I know. But I want you to know how much you matter to me. No one has ever mattered as much. You have to believe that. If you want me to break up with him, I will."
"Don't say that,"
Zack said, stepping toward her. Lexi ignored him. Her gaze stayed steady on Mia.
"I'll break up with him, I will. But I can't stop loving him. I don't know how. I should have told you that a long time ago."
Mia wiped her eyes.
"There was always something weird about the way you looked at each other. I thought I was being oversensitive. Because of Haley."
She sighed heavily.
"I know how I feel about Tyler. If it's like that..."
"It is," Lexi said solemnly.
"You promise you won't dump me for him?"
Mia said. It was an easy promise to make. Lexi let go of Zack's hand and moved toward Mia.
I promise, and I'll never lie to you again, I swear it.
And if he breaks your heart,
Mia said steadily,
you'll still be my best friend, because you'll need me then.
I'll always need you, Lexi said. I'd die if I couldn't come over here, honestly. No matter what happens with Zack and me, you and I will always be BFFs.
She stepped closer.
Say you're okay with this, Mia, please.
Mia sniffed. Lexi wanted her friend to smile, but maybe that was asking too much.
I'm scared,
Mia said.
I know, Lexi said. And it sounds crazy, but you can trust me.
Us,
Zack added.
I want you guys to be happy, Mia finally said.
What kind of person would I be if I didn't? I love both of you.
And we love you,
Lexi said. It was true. She loved Mia through and through. Her best friend was a lioness, as all of this proved. Mia had been hurt. Two people she trusted had lied to her. And still, she stood here, almost smiling, trying not to cry, caring about their happiness.
It'll be the three of us for senior year,
Zack said, obviously relieved.
How cool will that be?
I wouldn't throw a party just yet, Mia said, looking at her brother. We're gonna have to tell Mom tomorrow.
She won't care, will she?
Lexi asked, frowning.
I mean, she likes me.
Mia finally smiled.
Are you kidding? Our mom cares about everything.
The Journey Through Senior Year meeting was held at 6 p.m. in the high school library. Most of the island parents showed up.
We all know how special Pine Island is,
said Police Officer Roy Avery from his place at the head table.
I know a lot of this year's seniors. My own youngest son graduated 2 years ago, and I've watched this class go from little league to varsity. I've watched you protect them with car seats and helmets and airbags. Some of you might think that the biggest danger facing them now is what college will reject them, but there's a new threat. One some of you know all too well, and some of you know not at all. Partying. Some of you think that the island keeps your kids safe, away from big city dangers. But danger is here, too. It's in every empty house and lonely stretch of beach. It's in bottles of beer and rum. Starting about now every year, the senior class starts to feel both edgy and bulletproof. So keep an eye on your kids. Don't let them outsmart you. Let them know how dangerous partying can be.
As the crowd began to ask questions, Jude looked out at the familiar faces. She'd driven carpool with many of these women. Together, over the years, they'd sat freezing at football games, decorated gymnasiums for dances, been classroom moms. They'd joined forces to raise their children in a safe community. Now, there was a new enemy. Drinking. She had no doubt that the mom patrol would join forces again and be on the lookout for potential trouble. When Officer Avery returned to his seat, Jude stood up.
Thank you to Officer Avery for that important heads up, and thank you to Anne Morford for her insight on the college application process. I'm sure we'll all be knocking on your door with more questions as the deadlines approach. Now, as the head of the parent group, I get to talk about the fun part, graduation night. As most of you know, Pine Island has a policy in place that works to keep drinking and driving out of the graduation equation. To that end, we plan a fun-filled night for the senior class. They leave right after ceremonies and board a bus. They'll get home at 6 a.m. the next morning. This year's festivities look great.
For the next few minutes, Jude laid out the plan she and her committee had come up with. Because it was Pine Island and everyone had an opinion, she spent another 10 minutes answering questions and then sent around a sign-up sheet for chaperone volunteers.
After that, she joined her best friend Molly, and they walked out of the gymnasium in a stream of parents. As always, Molly was dressed in an effortlessly chic style, low-rise jeans, a fitted man-style white shirt, and a necklace of hammered copper and turquoise. Her hair, cut short and dyed platinum this year, offset her dark eyes and ready smile. She and Jude had become friends more than a decade ago. Molly's son, Bryson, was the same age as the twins, so Molly and Jude had found themselves together at one function after another. Class parties, field trips, Chuck E. Cheese birthday parties. They'd been friends ever since. Jude didn't think she would have made it through the tough middle school years without Molly and their Margarita Thursday nights. Together, they walked into the cold evening. Jude was just about to say something to Molly when she heard,
"The party sounds great."
Jude turned to find Julie Williams beside her.
"Hey, Julie."
"I hope Zach is feeling better,"
Julie said, buttoning up her coat. Jude felt through the mess in her purse, looking for her keys.
"What do you mean?"
"Chuck says he sprained his ankle. He's missed practice most of the week."
Jude stopped and turned.
"Zach missed football practice? Because of his ankle?"
"Oh, boy," Molly said beside her.
"All week?"
Julie said.
"I think he's better now," Jude said evenly. "In fact, I'm sure of it. Tell Coach he'll be at practice tomorrow."
"Marsh will be glad to hear that," Julie said. "And I signed up to chaperone the grad party. Let me know if you need me for anything else."
Jude nodded distractedly. Actually, she wasn't even listening. Clutching her keys, she moved purposefully through the crowd, barely making eye contact with people around her. At the car, Molly stopped beside her.
"I take it he doesn't have a sprained ankle."
"The lying little shit," Jude said. "He's come home from practice every day this week, right on time. He even had wet hair."
"So, what has he been doing?"
Molly asked. "That's what I'd like to know." She forced a smile.
"Lunch tomorrow?"
"Of course. I'll want to hear the scoop."
Jude nodded and got into her car. All the way home, she was talking to herself, practicing the conversation she would have with Zach. Once inside the house, she called Zach on his cell phone, got no answer, and left a message. Then she began to pace. She should have made the kids come home for dinner tonight. This time of night, the view outside was all but gone. A dark sky had settled over a black body of water. Only a few bright lights shone out here and there from the opposite shore. In the orange glow of her porch light, Jude saw a Halloween version of herself trapped in the glass. She was there, tapping her foot, staring at her own reflection, when the twins came through the front door like bank robbers, shoving each other out of the way, their voices climbing over each other to be heard.
"Zachary, I need to speak to you,"
Jude said. They skidded to a stop and looked up in perfect unison.
"Huh?"
Zach said, highlighting his mastery of the English language. Jude pointed to the sectional in the great room.
"Now."
Zach moved slowly, his body pouring like syrup onto the overstuffed sofa.
"What?"
Already his gaze was narrowing, his arms were crossing. A shaft of blonde hair obscured one green eye. Mia plopped down beside him.
"You may go, Mia,"
Jude said to her daughter, her voice brooking no disobedience.
"Mom, please."
"Go,"
Jude said again. With a dramatic sigh, Mia got up and flounced out of the room. Jude doubted she went far. Her daughter was probably eavesdropping from the foyer. Jude sat down in a chair opposite Zach.
"What do you have to tell me, Zachary?"
"What do you mean?"
he said, not making eye contact.
"We went to Pizza Factory for dinner. It's not even late."
"This isn't about your dinner plans tonight. You have something to tell me, and we both know it," Jude said sharply.
"You mean football?"
Zach said, sounding both miserable and guarded,
Coach called you.
On an island this size? You think that's how I find out things?
Really, Zack?
And what would Coach Williams have told me if he had called?
That I haven't been to practice in 5 days.
You're injured, I hear.
Funny that I haven't noticed a limp.
His rounded shoulders answered her question.
You've lied to me. Technically, I didn't say...
Don't go there, Zack. It won't help you. Why have you missed practice? Mia came back in the room and sat down next to her brother. She held his hand.
Tell her,
she said quietly.
We were going to tell you when you got home tonight, Mom. Honest.
Jude crossed her arms and leaned back, waiting.
Yes, please, Zack. Enlighten me. I've been with Lexi.
What do you mean?
Jude asked. I'm in love with her,
he said.
Love.
Lexi. Of all the excuses she'd imagined, that hadn't even made the list. Zack was in love with his sister's best friend. She looked at Mia, who wasn't smiling but didn't look angry either. Mia?
It's cool, Madre, she said.
Jude wasn't quite sure how to respond, and here were her mirror-image kids, so alike they seemed to breathe in tandem, sitting slanted together, looking somehow both worried and defiant, waiting to hear her reaction to this news. They had hidden this from her, and it stung a little.
How long? A couple of weeks, Zack said.
Mia flinched at that, and Jude knew she'd been hurt by this, a little at least. Jude let out her breath. This could be ruinous. What would happen if, when, Zack broke up with Lexi? What if Lexi stopped coming around? Mia would be heartbroken. She chose her words carefully.
Obviously, Zack, I'm not going to tell you who to date and who not to, but Lexi is important to all of us. You need to remember that she was Mia's best friend before you started dating her, and she'll be her best friend after it's over. And we don't keep secrets in this family. You know that. Okay?
Okay.
He smiled brightly. As usual, he expected to get his way.
And about football practice. You will be on time to every practice from here on. And you will be without a car for the next week. I don't appreciate being lied to.
Zack's smile fell.
That's bogus.
As is lying, Jude said. Headlights flashed through the living room window, illuminating Zack and Mia for a moment. The front door opened and Miles walked into the house, with a jacket slung over his shoulder and a novel under his arm. He came around the fireplace and saw them standing there in silence. He recognized trouble and frowned.
What's up?
Nothing,
Zack said. He looked at Mia and hitched his head. They ran upstairs and disappeared.
What was that all about?
Miles asked, tossing his sport coat onto the sofa. He went to the elegant mirrored bar in the corner of the room. A moment later, he handed Jude a white wine.
Zack's dating, Jude said, thankful for the wine. Again?
Miles said.
That was quick.
It's Lexi.
Miles took a moment to think about that.
Well, okay.
No, not okay. He's been skipping football practice. Miles sat down beside her.
I'm sure you had one of your come-to-Jesus talks with him. He'll be back on track tomorrow.
But why did he go off track? Zack's been dating a new girl every month since freshman year. As far as I know, he's never skipped anything to be with a girl. Lexi must be special. He actually used the word love. She bit her lip, worried it.
I see problems here, Miles. Lexi's practically one of the family, and jealousy can be brutal.
Remember how they used to fight over the Captain Hook action figure?
The Captain Hook action figure. Are you kidding me?
She looked at him. This is a delicate situation. A lot could go wrong. He smiled, a little indulgently.
That's what I love about you, Jude.
What?
You can see the dark side of anything, he teased.
But...
They just started dating. How about holding off on an airstrike?
Jude smiled at that. She knew he was right. She was overreacting. But a lot could go wrong with this new relationship. Hearts could be broken. Still, there was nothing she could do about it now. She went to her husband, put her arms around him, and looked up.
You are no help at all.
Chapter 7. The next morning, Jude woke to a cool and surprisingly sunny day. While Miles showered and dressed for work, she stood at her bedroom window, sipping coffee, trying to imagine how she could improve the borders in her garden. The lines weren't quite crisp enough, and she really wasn't happy with some of the lighting. It was too bad she hadn't noticed that in September. Now it was autumn, the rainy season, and gardening pretty much required a snorkel and mask. Miles came up behind her, reached for her coffee cup and took a sip, then handed it back to her.
Let me guess. You don't like the roses you planted last week, and azaleas would be better.
She leaned against him. You're making fun of me.
Not at all. What are you going to do today?
Lunch with my mother. He leaned down and kissed her cheek.
Don't let her bully you.
Yeah, right. I just have to get through it. Smiling at him, she went into the bathroom and took her shower. Afterward, she kissed Miles goodbye and started her day. She corralled the kids to breakfast, cleaned up the kitchen after them, and sent them to school with hugs and kisses. She was out the door only an hour behind them. She dropped off Miles' dry cleaning, picked up some paperwork from the college counselor she'd hired, got her nails done, returned the movies they'd rented, and stopped by the grocery store to order a fresh, free-range organic turkey for Thanksgiving. With all those island stops, she made it to the ferry terminal with seconds to spare, driving right onto the boat. The channel crossing took less than 40 minutes and dropped her off in downtown Seattle. There, she found a parking spot a few blocks down from the gallery and pulled in at exactly 12:06, only a few minutes late. On the sidewalk out front, she straightened, stiffened her spine, and set her chin up like a prize fighter about to face a bigger opponent. In taupe wool pants and a creamy cashmere turtleneck, she knew she looked good. But was that good enough for her mother's critical eye? She sighed at that. It was ridiculous, all this worry about her mother. God knew Caroline didn't worry about Jude's opinion. She resettled her purse over her shoulder and headed to the gallery. On the wall out front, a discreet sign welcomed her to Jace. She stepped inside. It was a big, brick-walled space, dotted with large, mullioned windows. Gorgeous paintings hung one after another, illuminated with precision. As always, there was a sadness to the work that made Jude frown. It was all in greens and browns and grays.
Judith, her mother said, coming forward. She was dressed in slim black pants and a rose-colored silk blouse. A gorgeous stone necklace offset her green eyes. I expected you a few minutes ago.
Traffic.
Of course.
Mother's smile was as brittle as old bones.
I thought we could eat outside today. It's so unexpectedly lovely.
Without waiting for a response, she led Jude through the gallery and up to the rooftop patio that overlooked Alaskan Way. From here, the view of Elliott Bay and Pine Island sparkled in the pale autumn sunlight. Large sculpted evergreens grew from huge terracotta pots. A table had been set with silver and crystal. Everything was perfect, as usual. Lovely, as her mother would have said.
Jude sat down, scooting in close. Mother poured two glasses of wine and then sat down across from Jude. "So," she said, lifting a silver lid and serving up the salad niçoise, "what are you doing with yourself these days?" "The kids are seniors in high school. That keeps me pretty busy." "Of course. What will you do when they go to college?" The remark was unsettling. "I saw a Master Gardener class that looked interesting," she said, hearing and hating the anemic tone in her voice. Lately, she'd begun to wonder exactly the same thing. What would she do when her children were gone? Her mother looked at her. "Would you ever consider managing Jace?" "What?" "The gallery. I'm getting older. Most of my friends retired long ago. You've a good eye for talent." "But the gallery is your life."
"Is it?"
Her mother sipped her wine.
"I suppose. Why couldn't it be yours as well?"
Jude considered that. She had watched her mother work this gallery for years, giving up everything else in her life. She'd even given up painting. Nothing mattered to her mother except the artists she chose and their work. It was an empty existence. And then there was the real problem. Her mother would never quit, and the idea of working together was horrifying. They hadn't had an honest conversation in 30-some years.
"I don't think so."
Mother put down her wine.
"May I ask why not?"
"I can't see us working well together. And I certainly can't see you actually retiring, Mother. What would you do?" Her mother glanced away, looked out at the bay, where a boat was pulling up to the marina.
"I don't know."
For the first time in years, Jude felt a kind of kinship with her mother. Both of them were facing changes in life, the natural consequences of aging. The difference between them was that Jude had people she loved around her. In that way, her mother was a cautionary tale.
"You'll never quit," she said. "You're right, of course. Now let's eat. I only have 40 minutes left. Really, Judith, you should try to be on time for our lunches."
They spent the next 44 minutes making agonizing small talk. Neither one really listened to the other. Long silences punctuated every comment, and in the quiet, Jude all too often recalled her lonely childhood. Years she'd spent waiting for a kind word from this woman. When it was finally over, Jude said goodbye and left the gallery. Outside, she stood on the street, unexpectedly unsettled. Her mother had struck a nerve with that "what will you do" sentence, and it irritated Jude that she even cared. She walked down the busy street toward her car. She was almost there when she glanced in a window and stopped. There, in a glass display case, was a gorgeous gold ring. She went inside, looked closer. It was gorgeous. A perfect combination of edgy and sophisticated, modern and timeless. The shape was slightly asymmetrical, with a triangular flap on the top edge. The artist must have somehow wrapped heated metal around a form and then twisted it just enough to give the wide band a fun little tail. The empty jewel prong was also slightly off-center. Jude looked up. Across the store, an elegantly coiffed older woman made almost no noise as she crossed the store and stepped gracefully behind the counter.
"Have you found something?"
Jude pointed at the ring.
"Ah, exquisite."
The saleswoman unlocked the glass case and withdrew the piece.
"It's a Basra, one of a kind."
She offered it to Jude, who slipped it on her forefinger.
"It would make a beautiful graduation gift for my daughter. What stone would you suggest setting in it?"
The woman frowned in concentration.
"You know, I don't have children, but if I were buying my daughter a ring like this, I think I'd want to extend the experience. Perhaps you could choose the stone together."
Jude loved the idea. "How much is it?"
$650,
the saleswoman answered. Ouch.
Maybe you'd like to look at something less...
No, this is the ring I want. And could you show me some watches for my son?
Jude spent another 30 minutes in the store, decided on the inscriptions, then paid for her purchases and left. With both boxes hidden in her purse, she drove down to the waterfront and caught the 3 o'clock ferry. At just before 4, she was back on Pine Island, turning onto Knight Road. At home, she found Mia seated at the dining room table, with her laptop open, watching something on the screen.
I overacted in our town, Mia said miserably. Why didn't anyone tell me? USC will hate this.
Jude went to Mia, stood beside her. Go to that scene in Streetcar when you were on the balcony. That'll blow them away.
Mia took out one CD and put in another. How was school today?
Mia shrugged.
Mrs. Rondell gave us a pop quiz. So lame. And they announced the winter play, Romeo and Juliet, set during the Vietnam War. I can get the lead, which is cool. Zach is going to take Lexi home after practice, but he'll be home for dinner.
Jude rubbed Mia's back. What do you think about Zach and Lexi being together?
I bet it's killed you not to ask me that before.
Jude smiled.
A little.
Mia looked up.
It's scary. And sort of cool, I guess.
Jude thought about Mia before Lexi, when her daughter had been like a scared, fragile turtle with her head tucked deep inside her shell. Mia's only friends had been fictional. Lexi had changed all that. Whatever happens between them, you and Lexi have to stay honest with each other. You have to stay friends.
After Zach breaks up with her, that's what you mean?
I'm just saying.
I've thought of it myself, believe me, but I think he really likes her. He talks about her all the time.
Jude stood there a minute longer, trying to figure out how to best bring up the other thing on her mind. Finally, she decided to just do it. There's one other thing.
What? You want to ask me again if Tyler and I are doing it? We're not.
Mia laughed. I remember the first time I fell in love. Keith Corcoran, senior year of high school, just like you. I didn't know until Keith kissed me how falling in love could be like riding a waterfall into warm water. She shrugged. No one talked to me about it. Grandma is a pretty buttoned-up woman. All she ever said to me about love was that it derailed a woman. So I learned on my own, and like everyone, I made some mistakes. And the world is more dangerous now. I don't want you to sleep with Tyler. You're too young. But... She went over to the second drawer beside the stove, opened it. She took out a small brown bag and handed it to Mia. These are for you, just in case. Mia peered into the bag and saw the word condom printed on a brightly colored box. She gasped and clamped a hand over the bag.
Mom! Gross! We haven't done anything!
I'm not saying you'll need them. In fact, I hope you don't. But you know me, and I can see that you think you do love him.
I don't need these, Mia mumbled, but thanks.
Jude looked down at her daughter. Touching her chin, she forced Mia to look up at her. Sex changes everything, Mia. It can be great for a relationship when you're ready, older, but it can be napalm when you're not ready. And baby, you're not ready, just so you know. By mid-November, every kid in the senior class was stressed out. The high school hallways were filled now with kids talking about colleges. Families spent weekends on the road, visiting campuses and talking to admissions counselors and trying to find the perfect fit. Lexi's concerns and stresses were less complex. She didn't have some endless bank account from which to draw money, so her choices were limited to state schools. and sadly, since she'd fallen in love, her grades had dropped. It wasn't much, just a tenth of a point, but in the dog-eat-dog world of college admissions, that was appreciable. Lately, when she was at the Faradays or out with Zach and Mia and Tyler, she felt like some visitor from another country, unable to really comprehend their conversations. They all talked about USC and Loyola and NYU as if they were shoes you could point to and purchase. Lexi could hardly comprehend that kind of confidence. She stared down at the paperwork in front of her. Columns of calculations taunted her. No matter how hard she tried, there wasn't going to be enough money. Not for a 4-year school. If she didn't get a governor's full-ride scholarship, she was out of the race. Down the hall, a door opened. Lexi looked up, saw Eva coming her way.
You've been at that a long time.
College is expensive, Lexi said with a sigh.
I wish...
What?
How did I get to be this age with no money?
I hate that I can't help you more. Lexi felt a rush of affection for this woman who had changed her life, given her a place to belong. Don't say that, Eva. You've given me everything that matters. Eva looked down at her. She looked worried, the wrinkles around her mouth compressed into deep grooves.
I talked to Barbara today.
How is your sister? Still knitting enough blankets for a third world country? Eva sat down across from Lexi.
She wants me to move to Florida with her, after you graduate, of course. I wouldn't even think of it, but... Well, this weather is hell on my knees. We were thinking maybe you could come, too. There's a beauty school right down the road. That's a good trade. People always need their hair cut.
Lexi tried to smile. She wanted to, but couldn't quite find the strength. The idea of being without Eva was frightening, but Florida was so far away. How would she ever see Mia and Zach if she lived in Florida? And would she really have to choose between the people she loved? Was that part of growing up?
I guess you're thinking of your young man. You going to school together then?
No, we'll see each other on vacation, though. I'll be in Seattle, and he'll come home to see his parents.
So you got it all worked out.
All worked out.
You be careful, Lexi, Aunt Eva said quietly. I know what happens when boys get ready to go off to college. That's when girls make bad choices. Don't you be one of those girls.
I won't be. Eva got slowly back to her feet. Lexi noticed how slowly her aunt moved now that the weather had turned cold. She patted Lexi's shoulder and headed over to the hook by the front door, where her blue Walmart smock hung, waiting. She slipped it on and then put on her coat.
Off to work, she said. We got lots of Thanksgiving merch to display.
She turned.
I'll get us a turkey. We can have a dinner with all the trimmings. Would you like that?
Love it. Eva opened the door and went out into the rainy darkness. Only a moment or so later, there was a knock at the door. Her aunt must have forgotten something and locked herself out. Lexi went to the door and opened it. Zach stood on the top step, holding red roses.
I thought she'd never leave.
Zach, what are you doing here? He pulled her into his arms and kissed her until she was clinging to him like a drowning girl.
I had to see you, he said finally, his breath as ragged as hers.
Then he picked her up and carried her down the hallway. The whole house shook, and somewhere she dropped the flowers. He put her down on her narrow twin bed and covered her body with his, kissing her. When he pressed against her, she could feel his hardness through her jeans. His tongue played with hers, and the feel of it pushed her toward something, a wanting, a needing, that was new and frightening and powerful. Without thinking about it, she grabbed his butt and pulled him onto her, so she could feel how much he wanted her. He cursed and broke free, sliding off of her. At her confused frown, he tried to smile, but the look in his eyes was dark. She saw her own desire mirrored there. The difference was that he wasn't afraid.
"It's better if we don't do that," he said, shakily.
"I know," she said, pulling her sweater back down. Her eyes stung, and she didn't know why exactly, but she felt ashamed. She lay down and rolled onto her side, away from him. He tucked up against her, molded his body to hers.
"Why are you so afraid of me, Lexi? I don't mean sex, I mean me. Why are you so sure I'll hurt you?"
"Because I love you, Zack."
"But I love you too."
She sighed. Zack's view of love had been painted by his family. Hers was a little darker. She knew how it felt to be abandoned by someone who'd claimed love.
"Just hold me, Zack,"
she said, settling deeper into his arms. As they lay there, she stared at the floor. A single rose lay on the industrial gray carpeting, stepped on, its bright red blossom tattered and torn. With winter break came the first round of college deadlines. By the time classes ended on the 23rd of December, Lexi had mailed in all of her applications, and the waiting game had begun. She often woke in the middle of the night, with her heart pounding, a nightmare of rejection still hanging in the back of her mind. Zack and Mia were stressed out, too, but it wasn't so bad for them. Sure, they wanted USC, but there were no bad answers waiting for them. The question for them wasn't if they'd go to a four-year school. It was which one would they choose. The only one who seemed totally whacked out about the process was Jude, who couldn't seem to have a conversation that didn't include some college reference. Tonight, Lexi was at the ice cream shop, working late. The school vacation gave business a shot in the arm. Families came downtown to Christmas shop, strolling from store to store beneath trees outlined in sparkling white lights. She was ringing up a quart of fig and goat cheese ice cream when the phone rang. Thanking the well-dressed woman at the register, she answered, "Amore Ice Cream Shop, this is Alexa. May I help you?"
"Lex, it's Mia. You're not supposed to call me here. The Ottomans are gone for the weekend."
"So?"
"Kim's having a party. We'll pick you up at 9, okay?"
"Lexi," Mrs. Salter said firmly, "that's a business phone."
"Okay," Lexi said.
Mia said,
"Later,"
and hung up. Lexi went back to work. From then on, the minutes seemed to crawl forward on sore knees, but finally, the ice cream shop was closed up, and Lexi was outside in the cold, waiting. All around her, Christmas lights hung from eaves and wrapped around potted trees in front of the local businesses. Bright banners hung from the lampposts, fluttering in the night air, and a giant illuminated star hung above Main Street. A red SUV pulled up in front of her. Mia opened the passenger door and leaned out.
"Hey!"
Lexi hurried around to the back door and climbed in the back seat where Zack was waiting for her.
"Hey, Lexi,"
Tyler said from the driver's seat.
"Hey,"
Lexi said, cuddling up to Zack.
"I missed you," he said.
"I missed you too."
They'd been together last night, studying with Mia in the Faraday's big media room, and making out whenever Mia left them alone, but it felt like a long time ago.
"I called your aunt," Mia said. "She said it's cool if you stay at my house tonight."
Lexi leaned against Zack, resting her hand on his thigh. She had to be touching him. There were already about 15 cars at the Ottoman house when they pulled up. The four of them walked up the gravel driveway together. Noise from the party sounded muted and distant until they stepped inside. Music was playing at the edge of pain. The kitchen was wall-to-wall kids. A few more lay sprawled in the living room, making out, and through the glass pocket doors, they could see about 10 more outside, standing around a fire. Tyler pulled Mia into his arms and twirled her around, lifting her off her feet. Mia laughed and clung to him, and then they were kissing like crazy. Zach took Lexi by the hand and led her out to the fire, where a group of football players were shotgunning beer.
"Zach! Zach! Zach!"
The crowd chanted his name as they approached. Bryson stepped forward, holding a Coors Light.
"Brewski, dude?"
"Tyler's the DD," Zach said.
"Hell yeah."
He took the beer, jammed a pen into its side, shaped the cap, and guzzled the whole thing in one shot. Wiping his mouth, he grinned at the crowd around him.
"You want one, Lexi?"
Bryson asked.
"No, thanks."
"Come on, Lexi,"
Zach said, rubbing her arm. She couldn't deny him.
"Fine, I'll have a beer, but no shotgunning. I do my own laundry."
Zach laughed and called out for another beer. For the next 2 hours, the party roared forward. The crowd grew louder and sloppier and drunker. Every now and then, the air smelled like pot. Someone was always laughing. And then, suddenly, the music changed. The soundtrack from The Little Mermaid started. Throughout the house, guys, including Zach, groaned. Lexi grinned. "I love it when a girl has the party." Mia appeared out of nowhere. In her expensive pink terry cloth sweatpants and thick white hoodie, she looked rumpled and drunk, a little unsteady on her feet.
"It's my song," she said,
grabbing Lexi's hand, dragging her out onto the patio, where kids were dancing. She hung on Lexi, trying to move to the beat, but this close, Lexi could see how drunk Mia was, and how sad.
"Mia, what happened?" "Tyler is all over Elena Smith."
"Maybe you're misreading the signs. You are pretty hammered."
"I only shotgunned a few beers, and I'm not overreacting."
She leaned forward, whispered,
"It's 'cause she does it. All the guys know it."
"If he loves you..."
"Yeah, yeah," Mia said. "The point is, I love him, so what am I waiting for?"
Before Lexi could answer, Tyler showed up and took Mia away, leading her off the makeshift dance floor. Lexi saw how pathetically happy Mia looked at his return. It saddened her, because she knew how dangerous it was to love someone that much, and because it was how she looked at Zach.
"My sister dumped you, huh?"
Zach said, coming up behind her, taking her in his arms.
"I would never do that to you."
She turned into him, kissing him. She tasted beer and something else, something sharp and metallic. The look in his eyes was a little bleary, as if he couldn't quite focus. He kissed her again, deeply, and then, taking her hand, he led her through the party and down to the beach. He started kissing her even before they lay down. His hand slid up under her shirt, unhooked her bra. She knew she should stop him, but it felt so good. And when he touched her breasts, she felt as if she were floating, flying. She made a sound she'd never heard before. Behind them, distant now, the music changed, or went on, or even went off. She couldn't hear anything except her own heavy breathing and the way he kept saying her name and whispering that he loved her. It took a Herculean effort to push him away.
"Don't, Zach."
He rolled away from her and lay there. She felt the loss of his touch as a physical pain, and she instantly regretted her move.
"I'm sorry, Zach. It's just..." "There you are,"
Mia said, stumbling toward them. In the moonlight, Lexi could see how glassy-eyed Mia was now, almost as if she'd been crying. And she was unsteady on her feet. Her shirt was buttoned incorrectly. The way it hung on her thin frame made her look strangely bent. She plopped down beside Lexi. Lexi tried to re-hook her bra without anyone noticing. It worked because Mia was leaning heavily against her. Zach sat up, drew his knees in,
and stared out at the black sound. After a long silence, he said quietly,
Mia, I don't want to leave Lexi.
We don't have to go,
Mia said, leaning against Lexi. She looked at her watch.
It's not one yet.
In August, Zach said.
He looked to her for support, but she could offer none. She was suspended, in a dangerous position between these two, both of whom she loved.
Think about it, Mia, he went on. The three of us could be together at the UW. We could get an apartment.
I might not be able to go to the U, Lexi said to him. It's so expensive. I might have to start at Seattle CC.
We could do that too, Zach said. It would save Mom and Dad a ton of money.
Mia looked at her brother.
Now, you don't want to go to USC with me?
I don't want to leave Lex, he said quietly.
Mia looked away, stared out at the water.
Oh,
was all she said. But in that little half-word, Lexi heard an ocean of disappointment. They all knew she needed Zach at college with her. Tyler stumbled over to where they were and collapsed into the sand.
Hey, Mia,
he said drunkenly, reaching for her.
I missed you.
Shit, Zach said. He's drunk. Tyler, damn it, you're the DD.
Tyler laughed.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I can't drive, that's for sure.
Lexi got to her feet and looked at the party. Kids were sprawled everywhere. The few who were still standing staggered around.
What are we going to do? She said, starting to panic. We don't want your mom to know we were drinking.
Shit,
Zach said again, running a hand through his hair.
Marjorie said we could call any time, Mia said,
trying to get Tyler to his feet.
No questions asked, she said. No repercussions.
Zach looked at Lexi.
We don't have any choice, she said.
This was bad. He cursed again and made the call.
Hey, Mom,
he said, straightening, trying to sound sober and failing.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, but we need you to pick us up.
Yeah, Tyler, I know.
Thanks.
He closed the phone and looked at them.
She sounded pissed.
It's 1 in the morning, Lexi said.
If only she hadn't had that beer. She could have driven them home and spared them all what was coming. They made their way back to the house, where kids were still huddled around the fire. All around, on the grass, more kids were making out, passed out. In the driveway, they stood by Tyler's SUV. It seemed to take forever, but finally a pair of headlights appeared on the rise, turned toward them, and grew brighter. The big black Escalade parked. Jude stepped out of the driver's seat and came around to them. She was wearing a heavy floor-length cashmere robe over pajamas. Without makeup, she looked pale and tired, and pissed off. Her gaze narrowed as she looked them over. Lexi had no doubt that she saw it all. Mia's glassy eyes and misbuttoned shirt, Zach's unsteady stance, Tyler's droopy eyes. Lexi couldn't make eye contact, she was so embarrassed.
Get in, Jude said with a sigh. Put on your seatbelts.
The drive home was utterly silent. When they were all in the entryway, Jude said,
Put Tyler in the media room. He can sleep on the sofa. Now I'm going to bed.
On that, she turned her back on them and walked down the hall. At her bedroom door, she paused, turned back.
Good job for calling, she said tiredly,
and then she went into her room and closed the door. Mia immediately giggled. Zach shushed her, and they all climbed the stairs to the second floor. Tyler fell a couple of times, yelling out curses. By the time they got him onto the sofa, he was already asleep. At Mia's bedroom door, Zach kissed Lexi until she couldn't think straight, and then left her.
She and Mia crawled into the big king-sized bed. Moonlight spilled through the window, illuminating them.
Your mom looked pretty pissed tonight, Lexi said.
Don't worry about it. We did the right thing. She wouldn't want us driving.
Lexi lay back into the pile of soft pillows, staring up at the dark, peaked ceiling.
About what Zack said. About school.
She didn't know how to follow that up. The dream was too sharp to handle.
The thing is,
Mia sighed,
I want to go to USC. I actually dream about it, you know? But I'm afraid to go without Zack. I wish I were stronger, but I'm not. I need him with me.
I know. Mia rolled onto her side and looked at Lexi.
I have a secret. About Tyler and me.
She paused.
We did it.
Lexi rolled over to face Mia.
It? You did it?
Mia's face was so close, Lexi could smell the beer on her breath and the floral scent of her shampoo. Her green eyes were bright.
He said he loved me. I know it's true now. Details, Lexi said, trying to keep her voice a whisper.
As she listened to Mia's story, Lexi couldn't help thinking about Zack and how much she loved him, and she wished she hadn't pushed him away now.
I guess you're officially the last virgin in our class, Mia finally said.
Lexi closed her eyes, feeling strangely adrift, as if she'd missed some boat that everyone else was on. What if Zack only said he understood her reluctance? What if someday he just found someone else to love? Beside her, Mia started to snore. Lexi thought about sneaking out of bed and going to Zack's room. She'd never done that before. She'd promised both Jude and Mia that she wouldn't do it, and usually it was an easy promise to keep. But tonight, she felt his absence keenly. They had so little time together. It was late December already. No matter what they all said, what they dreamed aloud, they wouldn't be going to school together. Beginning in September, they would only see each other on breaks, if then. She closed her eyes and dreamed of Zack, remembering the times on their beach.
Lexi! Lexi!
She came awake with a start. Zack was peering down at her, his blonde hair falling forward.
Come with me.
She took his hand. It was just that simple. He pressed a finger to his lips, said shh, as they tiptoed down the hall toward his room. She could have stopped him, pulled back as she'd done so many times before. But suddenly, all her reasons for holding back felt silly. Whatever he wanted, she wanted. She couldn't bear the thought that she might lose him. She wanted to be everything to him while she could, so he would keep on loving her. She followed him up onto his big bed, with its impossibly soft sheets and the airy, goose-down pillows. Moonlight spilled through the open window, pooling on the white cotton.
Here,
he said, handing her a small, pink-wrapped box. Christmas isn't for 2 days. I don't have your present.
We might not have another chance to be alone, he said.
Her hands were shaking slightly as she opened the box. Inside, on blue velvet, lay a thin silver band with a tiny sapphire chip.
It's a promise ring, he said solemnly. The lady at the store said it's what you give the girl you love. It means I want to marry you someday.
Lexi stared down at it, feeling tears start behind her eyes. He did love her, as much as she loved him. When she lifted her gaze, all the love she'd hoarded since childhood was in her eyes. She gave all of it to him, all of herself.
Do you have some condoms?
Are you sure this is what you want? He said. Because if you aren't...
I'm sure,
she whispered,
taking off his shirt. Love me, Zach. That's what I want.